for your lives, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Naked Sports Show. And as always, we thank Dickie Davis for the start of the show. Now, has anybody seen my co-presenter, Mr. Philip Pritchard? Phil, if you're out there, we need you. No, he's actually stuck in traffic. Last heard of at the Henley Road traffic lights. Phil, don't break your neck to get here, mate. We'd rather have you here late than never. So be safe. And it's actually quite appropriate because the specialist subject this week is, in fact, stock car racing. And we've got a couple of guests we'll be introducing to you in due course. But please don't forget our email address. It's nakedsportsshow@icrfm.co.uk. Email us about absolutely anything. Are you Spanish and still drunk after Sunday's magnificent winning performance? Are you Andy Murray and waiting to get out on centre court? Or are you Rafael Nadal and can't wait to face that baying British public and all they want is blood? So, time to introduce my special guest star today. I've got, from Foxhall Stadium, I've got Mr. Nick Knowles. Hello, Nick.
Hello there. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you too. And Nick is the commentator at Foxhall, and he'll be telling us all about Speed Weekend next week. And when the expertise, i.e. Mr. Pritchard, turns up, he'll be asking all the interesting questions, and I'll be asking all the slightly rubbish ones. Actually, ladies, do you mind turning the old air conditioning off in the corner there? It's a bit like the Ark Royal, I'm sure the listeners will agree. There we are, that's better. That's better, we can hear you now. Hello again, Nick.
Hello again, yep.
And who's just walked in the door is Phil Pritchard. And we've also got Mr. Terry Newell. Hello, Terry.
Hello there, how are you?
Now, I've got a lot to talk to Terry about because he is the Mr. DJ at not only at the Foxhall Stadium, and he also drives at Foxhall, and he'll be on the track on Sunday. He's also the DJ at Portman Road, and I've got a few ideas to put to him in due course.
Look forward to that.
We talked about these in the green room, and I think they're a great idea. And Phil, are you ready to say hello to the ladies and gentlemen?
Yes. Hello, everybody. Sorry, I was doing a pretty passable impression of Carl Bordley down the A14 and through Ipswich Town Centre, and I'm here now. I got to, are you Spanish and are you still drunk?
Ah, yes. Yeah, great. So you haven't really missed much then, Phil. Mind you, some would argue you haven't missed much if you'd have turned up.
The last thing to mention, you probably haven't missed much, to be fair.
Yeah. So, well, while Phil settles into his co-presenter chair, we're going to get the Vultures Venture out of the way early, aren't we, Phil?
Yep.
Because my horse, New Approach, didn't actually run last week. So, sadly, Lawrence Curtain Call did and came fifth. This week I have gone for it's the Eclipse Stakes at Sandown this Saturday. I've gone for a horse called Campanology. He's the Godolphin.
Is that why he is favourite?
No, he's not favourite. He's about 10-1, which is unbelievable considering he normally he's won three of his last four races. He came fourth or third or fourth in the other one, and he's 10-1, and that's his lowest price. And Lauren went for...
She's gone for King of Rome.
King of Rome. So we'll see how those get on in due course. Phil, over to you. Really, you know more about this stock car gig than I do. Can you take over the interview with the gentleman while I set up the emails?
Indeed. I don't profess to be any kind of an expert, certainly as much as you guys anyway, but I do follow the stock cars and the speedway when it comes to that up at Foxhall and have done for a number of years now. And first weekend in July, last weekend in June has traditionally been the National Hot Rods Championship of the World in Speed Weekend, and has been for 40 odd years, am I right in saying?
It's been a long time, yeah. It's, you know, I remember being taken to Speed Weekend as a kid. I won't tell you how old I am now, but that was way back when the cars were Minis, Anglias, the Hot Rods were Minis, Anglias, Mark II Escorts. So yeah, this has been the first National Hot Rod World Final was way back in 1972, but of course Speed Weekend started just before then.
Yeah, because what was the big championship race before the National Hot Rods became the centrepiece then?
It was the Superstocks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the British Superstock Championship, yeah, which is the open wheel class, the single seat open wheel cars.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, I had a bit of a look into the what's happening at the weekend. 37 races, 9 different formulas, 400 plus assorted drivers and cars, 8 championship races, all the formula that Speedworth cover through National Hot Rods, Stock Cars, 2 litre Hot Stock Cars and the 1300s, which I believe you're a participant, Terry?
I am indeed, yes.
What's your number to look out for?
549. Red and yellow starlet.
How did you get into that then?
Started off in the mini stocks formula when I was 14 years old. I was growing up, brought up with stock car racing. My dad started in 1978, and obviously it's in my blood. I had a go myself in 1989 it was, huh? And just sort of progressed into the adult formulas.
Yeah. Well, I can remember your dad as a racer, actually.
Yeah, he'd done stock rods and 1600 hot rods, which are now 2 litre hot rods.
Yeah, that's how I can remember. Was he the same number?
Yeah, he was the same number. Yeah. Yes, he was, yeah.
Yeah, I can remember him. Yeah. Around about the time I started getting to it, actually.
Yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, he gave up about 13 years ago now, so.
Yeah, good stuff. Any success?
Not really, no, to be honest. A few wins under my belt and a few trophies, but other than that, no championship wins, no.
Yeah? Oh, well. Never know. Never know what this week might bring.
See what happens.
See what happens.
Yes.
Sorry, is there someone who I'm probably going to come along, actually. Is it Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and
yeah.
Sunday. Well, I'll probably go along with Mr. Pritchard so he can tell me what's going on exactly, but... which race is that you're going to be in?
I'm going to be actually be in the first race on the Saturday.
First race on the Saturday?
Yeah, I think I've got 4 races over the weekend.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so 2 on the Saturday afternoon, 1 on the Saturday evening and 1 on Sunday.
Ah, well, come along and cheer you on then, I think.
Yeah, thank you, I need all the support.
It's all right, as long as we don't have to push you home or anything.
Pushed off the track, maybe.
Yeah, by the way, lads, you didn't see my car in the car park. If you did, you know, make an offer.
Is that the one on Jack's?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Phil often says I should try and flog it to someone down at Foxhall on a Saturday night and I'd get a couple hundred quid for it.
I think the best way to improve your car, Vulch, is to knock the windows out and paint a number on the side and you'll be...
Well away.
Yeah. But yeah, but there's the lightning rods, the stock rods, the super stocks, the open wheel formula, as Nick rightly says, the historic saloon stock cars, which, Nick, I'm right in saying, is... stock cars of yesteryear, I guess, replicated onto a modern format.
It's a step back in time. It's really proved to be fantastic. From what started out as a demonstration event, when they started to bring out the old MG Magnets and Cortinas and these kind of cars onto the track, it started off with just a few cars, and the cars were painted up in the colours of the old drivers, you know. And in some cases, actually, the old drivers came back to race them, which is fantastic. But now it's grown and grown. I mean, last time we had them at Foxhall, we saw 40 odd cars. So this has become a huge spectacle. And you can close your eyes and suddenly you're back there in the early days of saloon stock car racing.
Like, I mean, I think I've seen them a couple of times at the speed weekends in the fairly recent years. And like you say, it was a dozen or so drivers. Conrad Self was the car that struck me as one of the most striking. The red sort of top half of the car with the white disc with the number on in the middle. But now to hear it's grown up to 40 odd cars is really quite
speed took off, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's super. You mentioned the Conrad Self car there that has been built and it's brilliant, isn't it? The old Ford Zodiac 636, and of course, as Conrad always had on his cars, Big Fry. He's still about, you know, he's still tinkering about with some steam engines and things like that these days. He doesn't go to the stock cars anymore.
But so, what's the difference between the historic ones and the modern day equivalents then? Is there specification differences?
The cars are different, aren't they?
Yeah, the cars are different, yeah. I mean, that is the main thing with all the classes. As I was speaking about the different shapes of cars years ago, obviously the cars have changed, especially in the National Hot Rods, where once upon a time we were watching Minis and Anglias and Escorts. Nowadays we're watching CCs, Peugeot CC 206s, we're watching a lot of Vauxhall Tigras, and on press day just a week ago it looked like we're going to have an awful lot of Tigras and 206 CC Peugeot cars in the National Hot Rods this year. One or two other things as well, Volkswagens, but mainly those look like they're going to be the two main cars in the formula this year. So if the cars change, you know, and technology changes.
Evolve as time goes on. Yeah. I mean, I can remember, like I say, back when I started coming to Peugeots and Starlet seemed to be the order of the day, and now they've evolved. And we had Chris Dereary on the show a few weeks back, and he sort of gave us a very brief overview that the National Hot Rods are, they look like road cars in shape only. Everything else is completely race spec on them now.
It's quite right. They're built on a space frame, Kevlar body panels to make the cars light. And these are real racing cars. They've got big wide wheels on. If it's dry over the weekend, we sure hope it's going to be, they'll have the slick tyres on to make the cars really stick to the track. And 4 race engines. These are, they look like saloon cars. They are proper racing cars, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm right in saying there's a qualifying series over the course of the season, which starts only 5 or 6 weeks after the world final. Is it 13, 14 qualifying rounds the guys go through?
Yep, that's right, and it goes right through the year, and you've got to get the points in those rounds, because if you don't score enough points, you're going to be starting either, you're not going to be in the race at all, for one thing, if you don't qualify in the top, a number of cars that go through, But the more points you get, the higher up the grid you're going to start, because you're put into boxes. The top four cars in the points chart will go out on Saturday, and they will time trial, and they will be time trialing for the top six places, won't they, Terry? Because,
yeah,
of course,
right.
We bring in the Irish drivers, don't we?
Yeah.
You can tell us about that.
Yeah, we've got the qualifying series over Ireland and Southern Ireland as well. Northern Ireland, sorry, and Southern Ireland. And they get seeded into the groups, don't they? They're in groups of six.
That's right. They score points in their own qualifying rounds in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then
obviously
their top point scorers end up in with the top Brits and European drivers as well.
They're quite a potent threat, the guys from across the Irish Sea, aren't they?
They sure are. I mean, you know, I don't be at all surprised if an Irishman comes through to win. Des Cooney on practice day went under 15 seconds. That doesn't very often happen on a practice day. And he was the fastest on practice day last week. John Christie, son of Orman Christie, who's was a legend in sport. He won four times, didn't he? Yeah.
Was it five now? Was it five?
I wish you hadn't said that. I think it was four.
Well, yeah. He does stick in my mind, actually. One of the most memorable world finals, certainly that I can remember, 96, I think it was, when he pipped Stewart literally by a few inches on the line.
That
he swept around
inches,
him on
yeah.
the outside, didn't he? And I don't think Stewart ever quite got over it. And then when lightning almost struck twice a couple of years ago, when him and Bawley had a bit of a controversial
on the back straight,
he did wonder if it's ever going to become his day.
I know the Northern Ireland lads actually stay in the Ordnance Felix, though, so I hear, and apparently it's quite a party the weekend they're over, and their takings for the old booze is phenomenal. And just to mention for the Ordnance, they're actually going to knock it down and turn it into flats. Slightly depressing, but yeah, apparently the old Northern Ireland guys are over for a great bit of crack, so I might be joining them for a pint, I think, Saturday night.
And certainly be merry.
Gary Woolsey, son of Norman, he's won it a few times as well. Keith Martin's won it before, so they're certainly a potent threat. Looking at the list last night of who's qualified, you've got Carl Bawley, Matt Simpson, Steve Thompson and Andy Holtby, the top four English qualifiers, will then be doing the time trials for the top six bracket along with the top two overseas guys. Then Chris Head, Stuart Carter, Malcolm Blackman, Colin Gomme, the next four on the English qualifiers. You've got to say, really, the winner's going to come from one of those names there, wouldn't you say, Terry?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time the race is actually won from near the front of the grid. But was it one year when George Polly came from right near back and nearly won it? Was it 1998, wasn't it?
Yes, he
against
did.
Bill White.
Yeah, he did. And it was wet that year.
It was, yeah.
And he came up behind him and, really battled for the place. He went inside, outside, but he couldn't get enough traction to get past Bill White. We were going crazy because we wanted George to pass him, you know.
Yeah, George had won it the year before in 87, hadn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and I can remember Davey McColl doing a similar thing from a way down the grid.
1990, that was. Yeah.
And then, again, one of the most famous speed weekends, certainly in my memory, is Roger Peck in 91, and he came from a fairway down the grid. And as I think I said a few weeks ago, it was the purest wet dream. He came from a long way down, he came round the outside, he ticked all the boxes, and it was a glorious finish for a local lad.
Yeah.
What a fantastic drive that was. It was just absolutely awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah. And his distinctive Union Jack car. I mean, we got there and in time to see them practice, and you saw this Union Jack car whizzing around the track, and it immediately caught the eye, and you just got a sixth sense it was going to do something special.
And the thing that struck me about him after that race, he was just so laid back, like, I knew I could do it. It's just the impression you got, you know.
Yeah.
We've had an email in. Interesting. By the way, if you do want to email us anytime, click on the link on the website. If you want to ask any of our guests here a question on the forthcoming Speed Weekend, do feel free. Or you can email us, I'm going to start again, and my battery's wearing down here, nakedsportsshow@icrfm.co.uk. And the email, basically, Phil, it says, it's from Lauren. It says, hello, Daddy, hello, hello, Daddy, hello. Lauren, get back to the racing post, find yourself a winner, love. You're behind there. So Lauren, he did get here safely, he did drive carefully, so he's alright.
Absolutely.
So any more emails, please do keep them coming in.
So one formula we didn't mention, which is always a good source of entertainment over the speed weekend, is the bangers. Sometimes there's caravans, sometimes there's guys from abroad, sometimes there's team racings, all sorts of shenanigans going on. I believe it's an international matchup this weekend.
It's on the Saturday, yes. It's against, is it the Belgium drivers?
Yeah, it's something very special, actually. It's unlimited CC. It's England versus Europe. This is the second leg. The first leg was held in April over at Warnington in Belgium, and a team of 20 English drivers went out there, some of the very best in the country, and well, they absolutely really tore the European team to bits.
It was a bit of an annihilation.
It was, yeah. And that's going to be, if you're, I think actually, you know, Bangor Race fans, they've just got to be there to see that. And I know that quite a few people, that's going to happen on Saturday, by the way. There will be free races during the day. It's a free race tournament. It's the return match. And I wonder, have the European drivers got together and come up with a game plan this time?
Well, you do wonder.
They need something, don't they?
Yeah, I think... It's a bit like going away from home. You're already 8-0 down from the home leg, I guess. if the reports are to be believed. But on the Sunday, they've got a wild card for their world final, which is also at Foxhall later in the season.
Yes, it's in November. Yeah, first time at Foxhall. Usually Wimbledon. Yeah, unfortunately, the Ken Livingston emissions thing with the lorries has sort of stopped lorries over 7.5 tonne going into central London. Well, you can go in there, but it costs £250 at a time. So. Unfortunately, it sort of put paid to
not so much the cars, but the transportation.
It's the transportation, getting the cars down. Yeah.
So thanks to the Mayor of London, Ipswich has actually benefited.
Thanks, Ken.
Cheers, Ken. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah. So, but no, the Speed Weekend, it's not just the racing, but the whole atmosphere around it. It really does give the sense of a big time occasion when you go up to Foxhall for a Speed Weekend. Walking around the pit, seeing all the guys walking up there, working on their cars. There's entertainment before for people who come up there early. So you get involved in that, Terry, with your musical prowess here?
Yeah, we're not allowed any PA noise before, I think it's 10:30, so it's usually sort of fairly quiet. But there's always something going on within the stadium, sort of from, I think the gate's open 9:30, isn't it?
Yeah, they'll be open early.
There's a track walk on a Sunday, isn't there? I'm just looking at the list here. 9:30 is a track walk, so members of the public can walk around the track, you know.
That sounds fun. See how fast you can run around it.
Not as fast as most people can drive around.
It's actually quite a long way around. It's a quarter of a mile. That's quite a way.
So, but no, I've had a dabble with the bangers myself. I had a go in a meeting back in March, and must admit, it's only when you've actually had a go that you realise the skill involved in actually.
It's not easy at all. It looks easy from the terrace, but when you're in that car, there's
everyone's an expert when they're a spectator.
Exactly.
And when you get on the pitch or on the track, whichever sport you might care to talk about, it's something not so good.
It was actually a little bit scary watching Phil, to be honest, because every time someone comes near him, you think, oh my, because it's big heavy cars. They're going to hurt a bit. And also, Phil's brother gave us all a firework display when his suspension collapsed, and a load of shower of sparks trailed him for about 5 or 6 laps.
He didn't realise,
but it's quite spectacular. But Nick was actually at the Grand Prix at the weekend at Cardiff.
The Speedway Grand Prix.
We had Pete on last week, top bloke.
Yeah, switching over the sports room, isn't it?
Yeah. So what was the Grand Prix like?
It's the first, I've been to the Speedway Grand Prix when they were at Hackney, and for several years now have been held at Cardiff at the Millennium Stadium. First time I've been to, I've been watching them on the television, but this was just, I felt like when I came away from there, I felt like coming away from a Bon Jovi concert, you know.
Yeah.
I was buzzing.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. Everything about it, the presentation, and it was such an exciting meeting, it has to be said.
Yeah.
You know what really surprised me about it? I watched it on television all these years, and I looked at the track and I thought, I think that's quite a small, tight track. But when I got down there, actually it was wide and the corners were like Foxhall, and it was a fairly big track.
I watched it and telling myself, and again, probably like yourself, it's one of those things I keep meaning to go to, and I've never quite got my act together to get down there and go. But the atmosphere always comes across, especially. Did they have the roof closed for the event?
They do, which builds the atmosphere. They had the roof closed, and there was a big build up with some motocross riders doing the stunts, and there was Belinda Carlisle and all this sort of thing. And then there's start time approaches, they open the roof just a bit to get the fumes out, and it works.
Yeah.
You know when we used to have the indoor speedway meetings, like in London, it's Docklands Arena, you did get a little bit fumy because they couldn't open the roof. But with this, it kind of just, the draft goes out, and there's no fumes, it's great.
I mean, the atmosphere has struck me every time I've watched it at the Millennium Stadium. It's been absolutely incredible. So I really must get my act together next year and try and get down there. And it was a good Grand Prix. We got Scotty through to the final, which is, I think, the first time him or Chris has won a race in the Grand Prix all season, won a heat. Jason Crump obviously proved to be the winner, though, on the day.
Yeah, that's right. The referee wasn't very popular. He made some decisions that didn't go down too well.
Wasn't he?
Poor old Nicky was being booed terribly by about 50,000 people.
He's not the one who's making the decisions, I guess.
That's right.
But there we are. Just moving on again slightly. Are you a football fan, Z-Review?
Of course.
Ipswich Town.
Obviously, with your collections at Portman Road. Yeah. Can we explain this on there?
We explained it. I think Terry spins the discs at Portman Road. And I actually did have something to ask Terry that I did float in the green room. It's kind of like a ringtone. Yeah, you can set your ringtone up for different people. And I asked Terry if we could have different tunes for different goal scorers. And he said,
it's something we've discussed in the past, but there's only 10 hotkeys on the mini disc player.
Yeah, so this is my idea. And if you could take this up and if you could get Jim to agree to it, I'd love it.
Okay.
And you did mention a couple of years ago that when Pablo scored, you played Benny Hill and you got a bit of stick for that.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant, frankly.
I thought it worked, but yeah, we've got quite a few complaints about that. I can't remember the team who
it was
against.
It was Tom Hart for about the first four or five goals.
We decided to change it, but Benny Hill.
Sweet Benny Hill. I thought that was genius, frankly, Benny Hill. But my idea is that, okay, do Chelsea Dagger or whatever whenever the town score. If the opposition score an own goal or the goalkeeper makes a big error, some mothers do have them. That would just be, I would love that. If you did that, I would worship you forever, Terry.
I'll put it forward for you.
Yeah, put it forward. Yeah.
I'll put it forward.
Yeah. Put
that in the pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should have a vote on it. I think we'll get Phil Ham to run a vote on it. Because I think it'll be funny. And who cares about disrespecting the opposition? If you don't want some others to have them, don't score an own goal. That's what we say.
Exactly.
What I want to know is, do you sit there and pause with your finger by the play button and really strike it?
You can't be too quick, because if the referee suddenly disallowed the goal, which happened last year, we actually played a bit of the Chelsea Dagger and actually the goal was disallowed. We all thought we'd scored, but the referee had
There was a few games, weren't there? Last minute goals disallowed. Cardiff, one that springs to mind. I think QPR as well, where there's a penalty
QPR
ball over the line and a handball and everything, and none of them were given.
Yeah, there's just, you've got to have a slight delay on it. So
it gives you a chance to.
It's all queued up, ready to go in the mini display. It's just a case of pushing the button, just waiting to make sure it's.
So, am I right in saying that Rob's obviously down on the pitch, Rob Chandler?
Yeah,
Rob's the microphone.
Yeah, Rob's pitch side during the game, during the build up. Then he comes to sit with me in the studio or in the box during the match.
Yeah.
But he's on pre match and half time on the pitch. Yeah.
So, when football and stock cars clash, do you have a bit of a tight timeline to get from Portman Road to Foxhall?
Yeah, it usually works out, okay. I mean, football usually finishes about sort of 5 o'clock. You just have to quickly hot foot to Foxhall. I need to be there about six. So, yeah, sometimes
it's like.
And if there's a Sky game where it's a 5:20 kickoff, then I usually get cover at Foxhall.
Right.
Speed, Foxhall. Football is more priority, if you know what I mean. So,
football's a bigger priority, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. The whole actual presentation, I guess, do you have a huge input in that, or is it kind of, do people tell
Everything's on a playlist there.
Right.
Everything's from the songs to the links to the adverts, everything's on a playlist. So I just go down there. I take my own CDs, but the CDs are all there. Everything's on the playlist, so I have no control over.
You can't just wander in and think, do you know what, today I'm going to play a bit Arcade Fire.
Sometimes some of the songs get changed, but you're not supposed to.
I remember once Danny Baker actually got phoned up. This was years ago when Danny Baker was doing a kind of evening show, and I think it was when we were playing Sunderland for a Sky kickoff. And the guy doing the PA, I don't think it was you, Terry, it must have been your previous incumbent, he actually was on the Danny Baker show and said, I'm doing the PA at Portman Road at the moment. And Danny Baker said, can you play, I think it was Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh at half time.
Yeah.
And he actually played it. And we think, he came over and he said, God, the DJ's got good, isn't he? He's actually put Joe Walsh on. It was magnificent. So you couldn't actually do it kind of. Well, you could try and sneak one on like that.
But you're not meant to.
Yeah.
That's about the time we normally get there from the pub. The SGR girls are doing the makeup. They call the dancing trick.
Super Blues.
That's the one,
Super Blues.
Halfway through the routine, so I guess once you get to kind of 20 to 3, quarter to 3, it's build-up time as everyone's coming into the ground.
Yeah, we usually do the sort of police message. The police need to do an emergency message about 15 minutes before the kick-off, and then that's when the build-up starts, that's... the fans are coming in, the tension's building.
Yeah.
And away you go.
Yeah. And at the end of the game, if it's been a particularly sort of triumphant victory, can you play what you like, or again?
Again, it's playlisted. You've got a sort of win song, a lose song, or a draw song. So the only time I sort of get to play in my own sort of stuff is sort of between 1:30, 2:00.
And then
to myself. In my headphones.
Everyone else is in the pub.
The playlist sort of starts from 2:00, which is an hour before kickoff. So.
Yeah. Good stuff. So at Foxhall, does it make up your own?
Foxhall's all mine. Yeah. All mine. Any piece of music played there is my choice. You know, I'll do the build up for the World Final on the Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll sit there on my laptop, go through a few songs, and
yeah.
I've got an idea what I'm going to play anyway. So it's all up there at the moment.
Because each of the formulas, when they're about to start a race or having the warm up, they've only all got their own like.
They've all got their own signature tunes. Yeah.
Yeah. So were they historic that are common throughout the land, or is it just something that Speedworth made up and stuck with it?
I think Speedworth started many years ago, didn't
they? Yeah, Speedworth were the first to do it, but it didn't take everybody else long to realise that this is a very good idea. You know, fans tapping the feet and remembering the tunes, and then everybody wanted the tunes so they could play them at home, you know. So the music, I think, actually is very important. It can really build an atmosphere.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think thinking back the last 20 odd years I've been going up there, and you hear Mouldy Old Days Strike Up or the Whistling Jack Smith for the Hot Rods, and you do start to get a bit of sense of anticipation but coming,
especially with the Speed Weekend meeting, because they have a sound system in, so there's bass, it sounds very good there.
Is that the official anthem of banger racing?
It's the National Banger theme tune, it's quite well known.
Lieutenant Piggy must be making a lot of cash out of bangers,
isn't he? What happened to them?
Lieutenant Piggy?
He's living off those retirement funds at Speedworth.
I think he is, yeah. I know his mum died fairly shortly after they got the number one, because it was him and his mum, of course.
Right. Fletcher Woodward, wasn't it? Fletcher Woodward?
Something like that, yeah. I'm going to look it up when I get home. if anyone does know the answer there.
It's on Wikipedia, because I've actually looked.
Yeah. I think it's the only time that a father and mother have... a mother and son have been number one on the same track or something like that.
Really?
Someone's going to correct me.
It happens every night.
What's that? Where?
Unless you live in Norfolk, in which case.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. I would like to disassociate myself from that last statement by Mr. Philip Pritchard. Anyone living in Norfolk, good evening. Oh dear, I'm glad the signal doesn't go much past Trimley.
They probably haven't got internet technology up there yet, have they?
Oh, he's off again. Ladies and gentlemen, Norfolk is a wonderful country. The football team is what we have issues with. The rest of Norfolk is fine and lovely. Thank you very much. Right, go on, Phil.
You should see the hand gestures, ladies and gentlemen.
Say something. Oh, we've had a predictable email in. Dom, thanks very much. I hear Nick Knowles is on the show. I've got some shelves that need putting up. Please, can you come round? We knew we were going to get at least one of them, didn't we, Phil?
I'm just amazed it's taking till 9:29 for one to come in.
Well, actually, I could do that.
You could. You probably could. Yeah.
I'm busy this weekend, but
I think they're mistaking you for the cobbledy tanned bloke who broke his shoulder, didn't he?
Do you know what I will say about the other Nick Knowles is. I was using the name first.
You were. You did get to it first, Nick. There's no doubt about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, our time with you is sadly short as ever, and it's time for us to go. I'd like to thank, first of all, Phil, for making it here in the end. Thank you, Phil.
No problem.
Phil and I will be back next week. And I'd like to thank Nick Knowles. He'll be commentating on Saturday and Sunday at the Speed Weekend, yeah?
Yeah, I'll certainly speak to you at Foxhall at the weekend.
Excellent. Thanks for coming, Nick. And thank you, Terry. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
And remember, some others do have them. It's the way ahead. ladies and gentlemen, I've been the Vulture. Phil has been Phil. And it's time for us to sign off. We'll be back next week for more radio nonsense. So, cheerio. See you then. Bye.